thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Great to be with you. Let's read the Word of God together. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. It says, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that are under your care. Watch over them, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, and not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will not fade away." Lend our reading there. And you know, as I've said already, it's a very important morning in the life of the fellowship and in the life of the two men that we have just prayed with and their families. It's not only important because it's a milestone in this church, but because I've discovered that while Jesus said, "I will build my church," and there's absolutely no doubt that he has done that for the past 2,000 years, and he's building even in this current season. It might feel different, it might be different, but I tell you, the Lord's always out ahead. Do we think for a moment that a global pandemic caught God unawares in any way? I tell you, he's always building, he's always working and moving by his Spirit. And he's building in this season. It may feel strange to us, it may feel different, but the Lord is always at work. But even though he's building, at the same time, the Bible shows us over and over again that the Lord does not do that alone. Because he chooses us as his people to work with him in various roles, in various ways, as we serve in the kingdom. Isn't it amazing, absolutely amazing, that God bothers at all to involve us, really? When we know that he's sovereign, he's unlimited, he's all-knowing in every shape and form. And in such a major work, at the same time, God chooses to invite us in to be co-partners and workers together with him. That never fails to amaze me. He could tidy it up and do it by one touch of his hand, by one word from his mouth, but he involves us in the journey. And it's like that all the way through the Bible. Wherever God has wanted to work, what God does is he looks for a person, a man or a woman. The human race, he began not by speaking us all into existence, but he began by bringing Adam, a man. When he wanted an ark, he called Noah. When he wanted a new nation, he called Abraham. And when he wanted the children of that nation, when it had multiplied, to be brought out of Egypt, he put his hand upon Moses. When he needed them led into the promised land, he put his hand upon Joshua. When he wanted to establish the kingdom, he called David at times throughout. When he wanted a particular type of judge, he called Deborah. When he wanted the message of a resurrection sent out to the world, he put his hand upon some woman to first deliver that message. God always works through people. When he wanted that good news taken out, he called 12 and he put that responsibility on them. And we could go on at length about that throughout church history. And this morning, God calls us wonderfully to be involved in what he is doing, in leadership, in working, and in missional living every day wherever we go. We are ambassadors of the kingdom. What a wonderful thing that is. You know, someone has said that the church today very often spends its time looking for better methods. Now, don't get me wrong. I do believe we need to look at all the methods. We need to be relevant. We need to be communicating with our world. But someone has said, very often we spend a lot of our time looking for better methods when God is looking for better men and women, better people. Because I tell you, when the hand of God is upon a person, there is no telling the impact that that one life may have, or the lengths that their influence and their ministry may go to. God is looking for better men and women, better people. And nowhere is that more important than when it comes to leadership. Because I've discovered everywhere and everything rises and falls with leadership. Because leadership sets the pace. Leadership gives the direction. Leadership is vital in hearing from God. And that's how God works in his church. And with that in mind, what I want to share in the next few moments, it's not just a message to the congregation, but I want to speak a little bit about leadership, and in particular today, eldership. Peter, in those verses that we read together, is giving some foundational instruction to those who are in leadership in the church. He's speaking to elders and leaders, and he doesn't only tell them what to do, but he gives them some really very interesting, helpful instructions about motivation, their motives, and their attitude in leadership. And he does it in three particular ways, three very simple ways that when we read the passage, we don't always pick up that I want to leave with you this morning. But he begins in verse 2 by telling them to shepherd God's flock and to watch over them. Some versions say, feed the flock of God. And it's not hard to know where Peter got this kind of an idea from. Because you'll remember after Peter denied the Lord, when he was being very graciously recommissioned by the Lord himself, Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And Peter, carrying that in his life, is simply passing those same instructions on that he received from the Lord. And it's interesting, throughout the Bible, in so many places, God's people are viewed as a flock or as sheep. Every year, I don't know if I've ever mentioned this before in preaching here, but every year the farmer that owns the land behind our house, about this time of the year, he puts about 150 sheep into a 20-acre field behind our house. But when we moved there a number of years ago, of course, we didn't know he did that at this time of the year. We were out one day, we're away from the house, and we came back after dark, and we didn't know that he had put 150 sheep into the back field. There's just a row of trees and then this big, huge field that they'd been put in there. We came in, went into the house, that was fine. About 11 o'clock at night, I opened the back door to let the dog out to do whatever the dog had to do before lockdown for the night. And I put on the back light, and this is the truth, there were 300 eyes glistening through the trees at me. It really nearly freaked me out. It was really spooky. I almost felt like saying, Margaret, retreat, we're surrounded. It was like, get in the house, bat down the doors. What is going on? But every year at some stage, I'll lean on that back gate and I'll just watch them as they wander around, as they follow each other around. And you're just reminded when you look at them how vulnerable they are. They get ill. They gather up behind the trees at the back of our house at night for the light, because it brings a sense of security, and they gather in there where the lights of the house are. One thing is for sure, they need taking care of. They need shepherding. And when I used to preach about the sheep, I used to talk about sheep being silly or stupid. In my younger years in ministry, being totally unaware that as I said that, I was offending the people who I was speaking to, although we're all sheep in that sense. But contrary to public opinion, I've learned that sheep are not stupid. In fact, they're quite the opposite. And they can do stupid things, I'm aware of that. But studies have actually proven that sheep are quite intelligent animals, that they hang around in groups, that they recognize each other in their group, and believe it or not, they mourn, or their demeanor goes down if they detect any of their number that are not well or that go missing or something like that. Now, I got that from studies. I didn't actually talk to the sheep to find that out, But when you observe them, you can see all of this stuff going on. And they have all of the weaknesses that I've mentioned already. But the wonderful thing is, I think they're a great picture of the people of God in every season. And that's why they're portrayed like that in the Bible, for all sorts of reasons. But one in particular, that in the Middle East, there is a wonderfully close relationship between shepherd and sheep that we don't even get from shepherding in this particular country. This very close bond. Remember Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. And the good shepherd would give his life. The good shepherd would give his life for the sheep. Because of this bond between shepherd and sheep. And often today we think of the shepherd, you know, as only being the pastor of the church. There's an element of truth in that. Pastor holds a primary role. He could be considered a leading elder, or she could be considered a leading elder. But in actual fact, it's not just about one person, because the New Testament shows us about plurality in leadership, about eldership being plural. Paul appointed elders to guide and to watch over and to teach and to shepherd congregations and fellowships. And all elders have a huge responsibility, a shared responsibility to feed and to tend the flock of God. And that's what we're called to do, to minister to people, to shepherd them, to guard them, to feed them, to build them up for works of ministry in the things of God, to make sure that they are taught sound doctrine and the word of God. And I know you don't have a problem with that in this church. But it's alarming today when we see the church just move through trends but never raise up disciples rooted in the Word of God. You should be thanking God for the leadership in this church that's based upon the Word and that's collected around the Word in that way. It's such an important part of eldership. We need to be teaching believers in this season. The season that we live in, I'm not just speaking about COVID, but we live in a multicultural society that's post-Christian. It's a secular society that's been molded by a human agenda. And we need to raise up people who can communicate into that and speak into it words of life in a relevant way. We need to be equipping people for works of ministry in today's world. And you know, that's all the responsibility of leadership and eldership. And it's a big responsibility, because verse 4 of this passage tells us that one day the chief shepherd is going to appear. So the Bible tells us leaders will be judged with a stricter judgment. Now these two men this morning, Wesley and Andy, you know, on your journey, you've already met some wonderful people, and you know you're going to meet some wonderful people in this year. You're going to meet some strange ones as well. But that's par for the course. And so Peter gives this guidance to people who are coming into this role of shepherding, caring for, ministering to the flock of God in three particular ways. I'm just going to highlight them. First of all, he says, shepherd the flock of God. And here's the little thing that we don't often pick up. He gives them a way not to do it, and then he gives them the way to do it. He says, shepherd the flock of God. He says, not because you must, but because you're willing. In other words, he's saying to them, not out of a sense of duty as someone who has to do something, not begrudgingly, but willingly. And you know, the key that will make the difference between duty and willingness in all areas of the work of God, I'm not just speaking about eldership, but in any role in the work of God, the key that will make the difference between it becoming a sense of duty and doing it out of a sense of duty begrudgingly or doing it willingly, the key that makes the difference is awareness of the privilege. Folks, it's a privilege to serve God. And I want to say to these men this morning and to others in any form of leadership or work or service or role within the church, never lose the sense of privilege that it is to live for Jesus, to speak for Jesus, to serve Jesus. You know, a couple of years ago, I had the opportunity to go to Elevation Church in Carolina. And I heard a very interesting story that Pastor Stephen Furtick told. Their weekend services begin on a Saturday evening. And he said that it had been a particularly busy weekend as he was preparing to go out of the house to speak at the first weekend service, Saturday evening. He said, quite honestly, he didn't feel like going. Now, I know that will shock some people. How could the pastor not feel like going to church? But sometimes when the work's heavy, it can be heavy, because leaders are just human. And he said he really didn't feel like going, but as he was sort of pondering all this over, he said he really felt God said to him, well, don't go. Just like a nudge in his heart, well, then don't go. And he said he immediately began to speak back to God and say, but I have to go. I mean, I'm the senior leader of this huge church of over 20,000 people gathered in 17 locations or something across the city of Charlotte. I have to go. And he said he felt back in his heart as if God was saying, no, you don't. It's your life. If you don't want to go, don't go. Don't show up. And he says as he pondered that and he waited up, he realized something. Just a moment of revelation. He realized, hey, I don't have to go. It's my life. But the truth is, I get to go. And there's a huge difference. The difference is between duty and willingness. And he said it suddenly dawned on him afresh. I get to do this. What a privilege it is to speak to these people, to minister to these people, to speak on behalf of God. What an awesome privilege. And there will be plenty of times in the work of God when it doesn't feel like that. But make no mistake about it, it's a privilege to serve Jesus, isn't it? Oh, isn't it? You know, even with a mask on, you can say amen. I'm also aware you could be saying other things behind that mask, but that's... Seriously, what a privilege to serve Jesus. We get to be involved in the redemptive purposes of God. In a broken world, a hurting world that's been damaged by sin, but we get to herald and to proclaim good news about the love of God, the kingdom of God, the forgiveness of God, the grace of God, the healing power of God. We get to deliver the message that even though everyone born on this planet is lost and broken, there is a remedy that brings healing and salvation and life and makes life worth living. And we get to deliver that message as the people of God. What a privilege that is. It's unlike any other job. It's a privilege to lead in the work of God because it's unlike any other job. It's the most important work of all because the work that we do as the people of God in leadership and in missional living and in service for God, it lasts forever. Hallelujah. And the reward for it is still to come. Praise the Lord. So I want to say to the men this morning and to others in any area of service in the life of the church, don't ever lose, even when the work's hard. Even when you're tired, try to stay focused upon the fact and be renewed in the fact that it's a privilege to live for Jesus Christ. It's a privilege to be called to serve him and to be involved in his work because this stuff lasts forever. Second thing he says is, shepherd the flock of God, listen to this, not pursuing dishonest gain. That's the way not to do it. But he says, here's the way to do it, eager to serve. You know, there's nothing wrong with being paid for ministry. There's many verses in Scripture that show us that and teaches that. But the motivation for ministry should never be gain. And I'm not just speaking about money. There's many ways we can gain from the work of God. When we begin to serve in the work of God, it brings a certain amount of platform, a certain amount of profile, a certain amount of power. All sorts of things that can feed our life in a wrong, ungodly way. And I find myself saying to young men coming into the ministry today, don't get into the work of God for any of those things, because there will come a day when you won't be on the platform. You won't have the profile. You won't have the power, because nobody will want to listen anymore anyway to you. And the only thing that will matter then is that you love the Lord. And that you're walking in fellowship with him, that you're doing it for the right reason. And the motivation for us serving God, and I'd say to the two men this morning, and anyone else in service, must be that we are eager to serve, that we want to serve the Lord. And the key that keeps us eager to serve, listen to this, the thing that will enable us to sustain that kind of motivation throughout our lives, the one thing that will fuel and develop that eagerness to serve is relationship with God. Because if we go in our own strength, we very, very quickly burn out. But if we walk in relationship with God, he says, I'll give you all the grace that you need. Even though there will be trying times, even though there will be difficult times. in relationship with God, we receive from him everything that we need. And I want to again emphasize this morning, don't neglect your relationship with God. Because everything, all true ministry, all effective ministry, all ministry that has lasting eternal effect flows out of that relationship. It doesn't flow from what we glean from other places. It flows out of a heart that has been in the presence of God, that's fired up with the presence of God, that's excited about God, that's anointed by God. And then there comes something in our ministry which is heaven's touch. And before every service that I preach, I find myself praying a very, very simple, basic prayer these days. Lord, I've had years of experience, but I cannot rely on any of that today. If anything that I say today is going to really go into a heart and change a life, it has to come because of your touch upon it. Lord, bless your word today. And do what I could never do. And we need to walk in that relationship and lean on God. We neglect it at our peril. And when I talk about that relationship, it doesn't just apply to eldership, but any area of service or work. Worship leaders, kids work leaders, youth leaders, outreach work. If we want to be an effective witness for the Lord, we need to be in relationship with him. You know, John Glass, a former general superintendent, used to use a great illustration, and I share it with you this morning. And I'm reminded practically every time I get on a plane, I'm reminded about the illustration, and it really impacted me. Although we haven't been probably on planes, and we're maybe not likely to be in the near future. But you know, if you've ever sat down in a flight and they're doing that safety briefing, you know that thing. And there'll come a bit in that safety briefing where someone will say something like this. They'll say something like, in the event of an emergency that results in a loss of cabin pressure, oxygen mask will fall from the panel above your head. Grab the mask, put it over your nose and mouth, pull it sharply, place it over your nose and mouth, and secure it with a strap provided. I'm just practicing in case the ministry doesn't work out, okay? There may still be a day when they need flight attendants. But, you know, I've listened to that I don't know how many times. And then they say this. Always secure your own mask before helping your children or others who may be in difficulty. And when I used to hear that at the start, I thought, how selfish. No, people are gasping for air. My children are gasping for air around me, but I'm fixing my own mask to make sure everything's okay. It seemed wrong. It just felt wrong on every level. Until I discovered that when you get a loss of cabin pressure and a sudden reduction in oxygen in a cabin in the event of some kind of an emergency. Here's the point. If you don't fit your own mask immediately, you're not helping anyone because you won't be able to. And so if you really want to help your children, if you want to help people that are struggling, you've got to get oxygen, first of all, to be able to do it. And it's exactly the same in ministry. That's what relationship is. It's oxygen to ministry, to witness, to service, to anything that we do. And we've got to maintain that vertical relationship, that ongoing vertical connection with heaven in order to have a horizontal impact. It's absolutely vital. Leadership brings such responsibilities. And in the season that we are in, it brings awesome responsibilities. And we thank God for people who step forward to the role, even at a time like this. But leaders today carry huge responsibilities, not just in this particular season, but in all kinds of legislation and regulation and laws that are in our country, compliance and governance in church. These are weighty things. And I want to ask you again, as the people of God, you are blessed in this church with the leaders God has given you. Lift them up. Pray for them. Pray that God will give them wisdom in their decisions, anointing in their service and in their work. And can I say this? Always lift them up. Don't pull them down. And if you have something to say to them, talk to them. You know, one of the most painful things is for a leader to hear what someone in the congregation thinks about them while they're in the supermarket and they bump into someone and something slips out. Come on, folks. Let's be people of integrity. Let's be people of the book. Let's be followers of Jesus. Let's be characterized and marked by those things that really count. Do you know what? I don't know any leader that has it all, that can bring everything. Everybody needs others. That's why the New Testament emphasizes that multiple plurality of leadership. It's so important. I don't know anyone who has it all. But here's the thing. I find in so many denominations and in congregations spend time not talking about the good things that their leadership individuals carry, but the one thing that they don't excel in. And I want to say in love this morning, I don't need anyone to remind me of where my weaknesses are and what I can't do. Believe me, the devil reminds us of those things every day. So don't do his work. Build up, pray for, lift up your leaders. Get behind them, back them, support them, encourage them. Cover them in prayer. Don't pull down, but move forward in unity together, and God will bless. Third and final little thing before I hand back to the pastor. Peter says to these leaders, shepherd the flock of God. Listen to this. Here's the way not to do it. Not lording it over those who are entrusted to you. And here's the way to do it. But be an example to the flock of God. And this is the difference in this one between dictatorship and leadership. Middle Eastern shepherd never drove sheep. Middle Eastern shepherd led them, tended to them, built relationship with them, and they followed, and that shepherd drew them along. He watched out for them. And it's a great saying that the church needs leaders who serve and servants who lead. And the key ingredient that will keep us on course here is humility. Folks, let's remember, all of us, not just the man coming into eldership, not just the pastor and his wife, but whatever role we fulfill, that no matter where ministry takes us, no matter what door it opens to us, always stay humble. Because I've found that the truth of God's word, that God resists the proud. And pride comes before a fall, but he gives grace to the humble. He picks up the lowly and the broken. Let's walk humbly before the Lord. It's so important. And you know, someone has described humility this way. They said, humility is that quality which, when you discover you've got it, you've just lost it. Think about that. Great truth. When you discover you've got it, you've just actually lost it. What is humility? You know, humility, another thing I see in the church sometimes, that some people think that humility is making less of themselves. You know, kind of Uriah Heep type humility. You know, well, I'm nothing, I'm nobody, you know. You know, a person can understand their gifting and their calling in God and function with confidence in that and still be a humble person. Because humility is not about thinking less of ourselves, demeaning ourselves in some way. That can actually be inverted pride in actual fact. So humility is not about thinking less of ourselves. It's actually just about thinking of ourselves less. And there's a subtle difference in the two. It's not about thinking less of ourselves. It's just about thinking of ourselves less. And the Bible says, in honor, preferring, considering one another, walking in love and working with one another. And servant leadership is the key. Walking in humility. And you know, Jesus modeled it. I'm amazed today. Sometimes you dip into the business world for various reasons. And this whole idea of servant leadership is coming to the fore in corporate industry today. It's amazing. Big CEOs are beginning to work with their teams more as a leader and as a servant to them, helping them to find their way rather than the kind of strong dictatorial approach. And the whole concept, servant leadership, and I see it pop up everywhere. It's attributed to some guy in the last century in business who thought this was a great idea. Do you know where it comes from? It comes from the Bible, thousands of years ago. No one models this better than the Lord Jesus Christ, who though he was God and who didn't think it robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross, washed disciples' feet, and he modeled this whole concept. And I want to say to the guys today, be an example to the flock. Don't just preach the life, but live the life out. And so Peter gives this instruction to those who were stepping into a role that he had been given by the Lord. And I want to leave it with you today, not just for the elders, but for all of us right across the board. Simple principles that will keep us on course in leadership and in service. Live always in the awareness of the privilege that it is to speak and to work and to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Never neglect our relationship and our vertical contact with heaven on a regular basis. And no matter where God takes us, stay humble and let's not take ourselves too serious, because the Lord's in control. And you know, even in this current season, he'll bring us out the other side, building his church. Jesus always gets the job done. Amen. Praise his name. Thank you for your time and listening. I'm going to hand back to the pastor. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.